Welcome to The Upfront Investor with Dale Gillam, Chief Analyst at Wealth Within and author of the book How to Beat the Managed Funds by 20%. I'm Maureen Clifford. Today we're going to be speaking with Dale about how to build a profitable portfolio. Hi Dale, how are you?
I'm fantastic today.
That's good to hear. Now I have a question for you. I know a lot of people that want to start trading but just feel overwhelmed by the idea. Is trading as complicated as it seems?
Absolutely not. I mean, trading is actually quite simple. You just need to have a very good plan for that. You need to pick the right type of shares and you can construct a really simple portfolio for yourself.
So how do people begin building that framework of the portfolio?
That's a good question, Maureen. I mean, the truth is that anyone can really build a profitable share portfolio and achieve really, really good returns. And they really don't need too much knowledge at all. And really, they're not taking very, very much risk. But the key to successful in share market investing is really about good portfolio management and risk management. It's really about how much you don't lose is determined how much you make. But in my experience, what investors need is a really good practical framework that allows them to select stocks in their portfolio that really do have a higher chance of getting better returns and consistently better returns.
So how do people begin to build that framework?
Now, before they begin to invest, people need to ask themselves some really simple and important questions. I mean, first thing is, what's the goal of the portfolio? And really, what do you want to achieve out of your portfolio? But also, how much time do you have available? Often I find people get portfolios or try and construct portfolios that are much different than what the time they have available to do that, or even their knowledge level. So you need to concern yourself with how much time you've got to manage that portfolio and then have an appropriate portfolio for that. And also they need to consider sort of what resources they have available to them. You know, do they have the internet? Do they don't have the internet? What type of broking services they have? A whole range of different criteria are involved in constructing a good portfolio.
Okay, so how risky is investing in shares?
Well, it goes without saying that anytime you invest in anything, there's an inherent risk in buying any sort of or investing in any sort of product. And I don't believe the share market is any more riskier than buying property or anything else. I mean, unless you've got a bank term deposit, which is no risk at all, you're going to take risk on. So the key to actually being more profitable is really taking a level of risk that's really comfortable for yourself. And to be consistently profitable, you need to assess the risk that you're taking on each and individual investment that you're actually doing.
But how do you assess this risk? I mean, how do you ensure the odds are stacked in your favour?
Basically, it's an answer of buying quality over quantity. I mean, a lot of people come to me and they say, you know, I want to buy cheap stocks, but that's really not the answer. The answer really is staying within the top 150 shares in our market, which are the best ones. The top 50 shares run our Australian share market. And so really, I would suggest most Australians stick with that top 150 type of shares. They're the highest liquid. They're the easiest to pick. They're less volatile. They're less likely to fall on you out of bed overnight. And also likely to provide much, much better returns than the rest of the shares in the share market. But you really need to consider a few factors in the shares. And one you only want to get into the most highly liquid stocks. And the liquid stocks are those top 150. You know, you look at profitable businesses. These top 150 shares have the best managers in Australia. They have all the marketing dollars. They have the turnover. They have the best assets. The cheap 10-cent stocks don't. You know, they're 10-cent stocks for that because of a reason, and they, as I said, they can't have all the resources available to them that big stocks have. These also, the top 150 sort of stocks, or that are all bought by the institutions. When we have different indexes within a market, we have, you know, the All Ords, which is 500 shares. Then we have the XJO, which is the top 200 shares, and we have index fund managers that actually invest in these indexes. And that what happens is the higher up the index goes, the more these fund managers have to invest in these indexes. So they invest more in the top 20, in the top 50, then lesser in the top 100, lesser in the top 150. So if there's more liquidity, there's more big buying, you'll make more money. Also, they generally pay better dividends. They have good tax credits. I mean, obviously, franking credits come with good shares, whereas some of the lower shares don't pay dividends at all or even franking credits. But you also get better information out of the top companies. I mean, there's so much freely available information about the best shares on our market, and it's just much easier to watch them and get reliable information. There's very, very little chance of something in those sort of top 150 shares going broke. It's really unheard of. I mean, HIH and OneTel are very, very much out of the box. It's very rare, because if a company does start going down in price or looking like it's bad, another one takes them over anyway. But I suppose the proof's in the pudding. The bottom line is that if you buy and hold some really good shares over a 10-year period, you're going to make money.
But the top 150 stocks are generally the most expensive. Wouldn't I be better off purchasing a large amount of cheaper shares?
That's sort of a... it's probably one of the myths on the market. I get a lot of people saying to me that, you know, well, if I get a 10-cent share, it only has to go up 1 cent and I've made 10%. That's fair. I can understand that. But the actual goal is to make the 10%. If I bought a $10 share, it'd have to go up a dollar to make 10%. And people think, well, okay, it's only going to go up 1 cent, so it's going to be easier to get a share to go 1 cent than a dollar. And I can understand the theory behind that, but it's actually the opposite. The 10-cent share is actually a 10-cent share for a reason. And it's got very little chance of doing that 10%, or got lower level of chance of doing that 10% than a $10 stock or even a $100 stock. But it's got far more chance of falling in price or doing absolutely nothing. And that's worse. It's, as an investor and a trader, you need to look at what the downside is more so than what the possible upside is. So the better stocks have a much higher chance of going up and less chance of going down, where the 10-cent stock has got more chance of doing nothing, but more chance of going down, much higher risk. And as I said earlier, it's what we don't lose that determines how much we make.
Well, Dale, that seems to make sense.
Well, it does, and it's quite normal for things in the share market to actually be the opposite of what people perceive. I mean, you think, you know, about profiting from the share market is about how much money you make, but it really is about how much money you don't lose. And it seems as individuals, we're really, really happy to let our shares fall by 30%, 40%, or 50%. And if we lose 10% on a share, we've got to make 11% on the next share just to break even. If we lose 50%, we've got to make 100% to break even. The more you lose, the harder it is to get back the money that you've lost. So the more you've got to make on the next share. And we can all find a share that'll go up 10 or 20 or 30%. But it really is about what you don't lose, not what you do make, that will determine how much profit you make or how much your average return every single year is. And as I said, it is really, what do they call it, one of those big myths in the marketplace.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, losing 50%, that's sounding like pretty hard odds. I wouldn't want to lose that sort of money on, say, my super fund.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with super funds, it's actually even more important. But with the big influx of people trying to get into self-managed super funds nowadays, I mean, we've seen an explosion of that. And what we're finding is that a lot of people who aren't knowledgeable about the share market, they're really sort of disheartened or dissatisfied with the managed super funds and the returns they've been getting, the fees they've been paying. So they're saying, well, let's get out of this. Let's do our own. And they're getting into their own and they're losing actually money. And just recently I was actually chatting to an auditor of self-managed super funds, and he was saying 90% of the super funds he audited in the last year were actually losing money.
Good
and
hands.
At best they were making about 5% return. And it's not unusual. And I was the other day, or sorry, about 2 weeks ago, I was at a full-day workshop with the CPAs of Australia learning strategies about self-managed super funds. And the presenter was saying to me that it's not uncommon for him to see people losing $100,000 because they're trying to trade warrants in their self-managed super fund. And that's really highly speculative. And when you lose $100,000 off your super fund, how do you make that back?
So they're really kind of stepping out of the area of their knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. It really is because of lack of knowledge in the share market. Is that it's okay. I mean, I'm a very, very big promoter of self-managed super funds and taking control of your money, but do so with knowledge and do so with some understanding of how the market works. I mean, if all you did was buy and hold the top, really good top shares on their marketplace, you'd do better. So don't trade things like options or warrants or futures, which you can all do in self-managed super funds, or even CFDs. If you don't really understand the product, you don't have the knowledge and experience or the time to do so. You're better off sticking with those top 150 we've talked about.
But what if you do want to take that step further and find out that information? How do you go about learning?
You really do need to do some sort of educational type of workshops. That's really what you're doing. I mean, some of the things I do is actually teach people how to trade or how to do exactly what I do. I mean, I manage people's portfolios. You know, I manage million-dollar portfolios for clients. But I actually do teach people. So, I mean, that's one option, is to go to somebody who actually does exactly what you want to do. And it's sort of like getting a mentor, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we all, in our jobs, we all try and find somebody who knows or is already doing what we want. And we should attach ourselves to these sorts of people and learn what they do. And then we can achieve the same results as them.
Right. So what sort of time frame are you talking about? How long does it really take to learn this sort of thing?
It's almost like a bit of a piece of string. If you want to become a fully self-sufficient share trader of replacing your income at work, you need to dedicate at least 2 to 4 hours a week doing it to learn. and to get the experience and knowledge, and it will take you a 2 to 4 year process or 2 to 5 years to get to that good. If you want to be more of a active investor or somebody who manages a self-managed super fund who wants to take a bit more of an active role rather than being passive, it doesn't take very long at all. You know, 1 hour a month and you can run a really nice, good blue chip share portfolio. 1 hour a week's fantastic as well. If you've got a little bit more time, you'll probably get a little bit better returns.
Well, the 1 hour a month sounds about my level. So if I was doing that, what rules should I follow?
That's a really good question, Maureen. I get asked that question a hell of a lot by a lot of different people, and I've constructed 3 golden rules to investing that can help investors and even traders actually get better returns on their portfolio. And golden rule 1 is really, irrespective of the amount of money you have to invest, you should always take the same amount of time researching your options. And this will help you ensure that you get better returns and lower risk in your actual portfolio. Now this brings us to golden rule number 2. And this one says that you should have between 5 and 12 shares in your portfolio. Although my personal preference is closer to 5, because I'm a bit more of a share trader. But the trick is really not to have lots of stocks with small amounts of money invested in each. Instead, you really only need a small number of shares, or the right shares, with larger amounts invested in each. Because this actually lessens your risk and increases your returns. I mean, we all wish we'd put more money into a share that's gone up for 50% or even more. And because that actually works better for your portfolio.
I can manage those 5 to 12 in my 1 hour a month?
That's absolutely right. It doesn't really take a lot of time. When you've only got 5 to 12 stocks and you've got a nice, tight, small portfolio, you've got a whole lot of shares that are going up for you, you're trying to limit the ones going down. But smaller portfolios are much, much easier to manage. Doesn't take very long. Yet 1 hour a month's fine, simply because the smaller portfolios, you've got a lot less paperwork. You've got less transaction costs of buying and selling. You don't get all those big, bulky annual reports all the time and your dividend statements. And for an individual who's not a highly trained share market specialist, people can pick 5 to 12 stocks much easier than they can pick 80. I mean, try to think about picking 80 like a fund manager or 50 like a fund manager. 5 to 12 is much, much easier for you to pick, or for an individual to pick for their share portfolio. And because you're getting less transaction costs and all that sort of stuff, it just makes it a dream to run.
Nope, all sounds good. And that's all I need to think of, those two? Or...
No, I've got golden rule number 3.
Okay.
Golden rule number 3 is really, it's another money management rule, but it says that never invest more than 20% of your total capital in any one share. And what we're talking about here is when you get all your cash together and all the shares that you own, add up what the value is, and then divide it by 20%, and that will give you the maximum amount you can actually put into one share. Now, realistically, for people who are more buy and hold or just active investors, it'd be more likely between 8% and 12%. The 20% rule is more for share traders, but if people do have a really good stock that they want to put more money in, don't go over 20% of your share portfolio. This will actually keep you to lower risk and still enable you to get very, very, very good returns. For example, if we put $100,000 in 5 shares, you'd be investing $20,000 in each stock, or 20% of your capital. Now, if at the end of the first year, one of those stocks actually dropped by 50%, you'd only lose $10,000 on your initial capital. But if the other 4 stocks had risen by 10%, then you would have made $8,000.
And I'd want to be selling the one that dropped, wouldn't I?
Absolutely, you'd be wanting to sell that one. So therefore, your actual loss would only be $2,000, or 2% of your initial capital. In effect, you'd minimise your exposure to risk or losing while still allowing yourself to gain. I mean, we've all bought a stock that's gone up 100% or 50%, and if one of those other stocks had done that, your portfolio return, average portfolio return for that year, would be very, very good.
Well, it all sounds very doable. Now, I've got to ask the question. I'm assuming all of this information is in your book, How to Beat the Managed Funds by 20%.
Correct.
And if we'd like any further information on any of the topics, where can we go to for that?
All you need to do is just visit my website, www.wealthwithin.com.au.
Dale, thank you very much. I look forward to chatting with you again.
My pleasure.